By 1818, he had 11 grandchildren living with him in Monticello, and their recollection of him as a grandfather is incredibly warm. I want to read a bit of one. "I cannot describe the feelings of veneration, admiration, and love that existed in my heart towards him. I looked upon him as a being too great and good for my comprehension, and yet I felt no fear to approach him and be taught by him some of the childish sports I delighted in. When he walked in the garden and would call the children to go with him, we raced after and before him. He would gather fruit for us, seek out the ripest figs, or bring down the cherries from on high above our heads with a long stick, at the end of which there was a hook and a little net bag. One of our earliest amusements was in running races on the terrace or around the lawn. He placed us according to our ages, giving the youngest and smallest the start of all the others by some yards, and so on. Then he raised his arm high with his white handkerchief, and we started off to finish the race by returning to the starting place, and received our reward of dried fruit, 3 figs or prunes or dates to the victor, 2 to the second, and 1 to the lagger who came in last." And here we see Jefferson, the warm, loving grandfather, a gentleman. But at the same time, Jefferson was also an extremely demanding, if not sometimes tyrannical, parent. We saw after the death of his wife that Martha came to almost replace her as his constant companion. And he seems to have placed her in, at least according to the historian Fawn Brodie, in something close to virtual emotional thraldom, threatening to withhold his affections if she failed to act up to his expectations. By the time she was 11, he had sent her out in another house to be instructed. And he writes the following letter to her, and she's in Annapolis, on November 28, 1783. "The conviction that you would be more improved in the situation I have placed you than if still with me has solaced me on my parting with you, which my love for you has rendered a difficult thing. The acquirements which I hope you will make under the tutors I have provided for you will render you more worthy of my love, and if they cannot increase it, they will prevent its diminution." And here is a real threat, almost a subtle threat to his daughter. "If you don't achieve what I ask of you, there's a danger that my love to you will be diminished." This is a young girl of 11 who's lost her mother. He's the only close relation she has. And his regimen for her is quite demanding. "With respect to the distribution of your time, the following is what I should approve. From 8 to 10 o'clock, practice music. From 10 to 1, dance one day and draw another. From 1 to 2, draw on the day you dance and write a letter the next day. From 3 to 4, read French. From 4 to 5, exercise yourself in music. And from 5 to bedtime, read English, write, etc." Well, obviously, he'd forgot to mention mealtimes, but presumably that's not a huge crisis. She would have found a way to eat. But he's also left out all playtime. There's no free time for her to explore normal childish games. And he concludes the letter, "I have placed my happiness on seeing you good and accomplished, and no distress which this world can now bring on me could equal that of your disappointing my hopes." What an incredible burden to place on a young girl. "If you love me, then, strive to be good under every situation and to all living creatures, and to acquire those accomplishments which I have put in your power, and which will go far towards ensuring you the warmest love of your affectionate father." Well, another revealing feature of Jefferson's family life is his ability to remain optimistic at home by ignoring uncomfortable realities. I want to mention, too, very briefly, there's Martha's marriage. Her husband is a man of no small distinction. I think he actually served as governor of Virginia. But he also became increasingly mentally unstable. And part of the reason was that Martha always idolized her father far more than her husband. Indeed, they wound up living at Monticello, so her husband was never really the head of the household. Perhaps an even more revealing pattern is established when his younger daughter, Maria, he calls her Polly, speaks to him on the issue of a family relative. Now, Polly's different from Martha. She spent a lot of time away from Jefferson, was much less dependent on him, and much more independent as a result. It also meant that she wasn't always tuned into the clues of how to deal with her father. And she would do things which her other sister would never consider. And this is one example. They have a relative who's descending into worse and worse alcoholism. Maria comes to Thomas Jefferson and says, "What are we going to do about this?" Something Martha would never have done, because she knows what Jefferson would say. "Drop it. I don't want to hear about it.